Jesus went to the cross for you. He took upon himself the whole curse and exchanged your sins for his righteousness. Rejoice as Kenneth Copeland shares what Jesus did for you, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, are you there? Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, the Amplified translation, it'd be really good to take the time and read this entire 8th and 9th chapters in the Amplified translation. Very, very eye-opening. We do you to know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give. That's the classic Amplified. How that in a great trial of affliction, now get this, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. One translation said, they even begged us that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship or partnering with them of the ministry to the saints. Now, this was an offering being received to go to Jerusalem. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also, or the same gift. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, you notice thing in is in italics. Therefore, as you abound in every faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, a love for the ministry, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, I speak not by commandment, or I'm not ordering you to do this, but by occasion of the frowardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. This entire passage has been overlooked, misunderstood, particularly that 9th verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now, the general idea of all religious people, all of them, is that Jesus was rich when he was in heaven. But then when he came to earth, he was poor and had no place to lay his head. Well, compared to what he had in heaven, anything on this planet is dirt poor, you understand? But that's not what this is referring to. He was not poor in his earthly ministry. Let me remind you again, Judas was treasurer. Poor people don't need a treasurer. Well, Brother Copeland, he told his people that they couldn't even buy clothes. That, do you think they wore the same shoes and the same shirt for 3.5 years? No, they didn't. But they didn't buy their clothes with their own resources. They worked for him. Huh? They were dressing better than they were before. And there wasn't a one of those men poor when he went to work for Jesus. Glory to God. The time being referred to here is the time when he bore our poverty. Poverty was laid on him. The curse, threefold: spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. So at that moment, think a moment. He bore our poverty. Let's look at it from the standpoint of righteousness. He was made to be sin. He never sinned. He was made to be sin with our sin. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness. And by those stripes, we were healed. So, now, you and I, we never, ever committed any righteousness. No, he never committed any sin. But I want to ask you a question. When you and I accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we were made the righteousness of God in him, are we just as righteous as he is? Now, don't get this confused with holiness. Righteousness is just simply being right with God, right standing with him. Things are right with him. Amen. Well, it's his righteousness. So in him, we're as righteous as he is. And when we break fellowship, what do? Immediately, we confess that sin, and we by faith receive our forgiveness from that sin. And he promised, and he is faithful and righteous, to cleanse us, not only forgive us, but cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, what's left? righteousness, right? Amen. So, if he bore our poverty, then he became poorer than anybody. He bore poverty itself, the wickedness of it. Now, poor people are, there's wicked poor people and there's good poor people. Amen. But nobody ought to be poor. Amen. God, speaking to Israel, in the 15th chapter of Deuteronomy, in the 4th verse, particularly from the New Living Translation, God said, there should be no poor among you. Why? He's provided the blessing. He's provided what it takes. He's given us the opportunity and the right to tithe. Come on, that'll break it right there. Amen. Praise God. And remember, it's actually the law of transfer. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Think about it. The cross is a place of exchange. Amen. He became poverty. So that through his poverty, we could become just as rich as he is. We haven't scratched the surface on what God has in store. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. I've had a lot of wonderful things happen, but there's not anything out there I can't think. Whoa, I'm available, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I want out there, don't you? Oh, I want out there. Glory to God. I want to press this envelope in my sowing and my reaping. Glory to God. Now, this area here, I want you to notice that he said in verse 14, but an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. That is not socialism. The government had nothing to do with this. There is a sowing and reaping exchange. I want to remind you. Let's go back over there. Right there at the very beginning. Right at the very beginning. Verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, their gift, what they wanted to give. Why do you suppose they had to put pressure on the apostle to give? They were in deep poverty. Are you listening? They were in deep poverty. They were in the midst of a tragic situation. It was rough. But they had so much joy. But it wasn't the joy. It was the grace of God. What was it it said in the Amplified, in the New Living? Arousing in them the desire to give. Most people, all religious people, have no concept of a poor man giving. This grace. Now, you remember, just forget about the word chapter and the number 9. He comes right on down for touching the ministering to the saints. He's talking about this offering. And comes down here, but he said, but this I say. Now remember, hey, wait a minute. That you abound in this grace. One grace. Come on over. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, every person according as he purposes in his heart. Now, do you see that over here in the 8th chapter, that's what they did? And like I said, it'd do you good to read that and translate it. They gave what they had. And they gave themselves. In other words, they gave their time. They were really involved in this thing. So let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen. Glory to God. Now, where did this situation happen? It happened in Macedonia. That's where, you remember in the book of Philippians, he was writing to the church at Macedonia. That was a convict church. Do you remember Paul and Silas in the dungeon in that prison? They'd been beat just short of being beaten to death. And they were praising God, praising and singing at midnight, and everybody in there heard them. And the power of God hit that place. Amen. That jailer became the pastor of the church in Philippi, which is in Macedonia. Come on. Very interesting, wouldn't you say? Praise God. This is the profile of a sowing, tithing, New Testament believer. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. He's able to do it. Now, it's what you and I do with our faith that makes the difference. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. I looked up that word sufficiency today, right here in this text. It means a state of life, having enough that you need no outside aid or support. That's being sufficient. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You remember when the Apostle Paul approached God about the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, and he said three different times he went to the Lord and asked him to get him off. And he said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't tell him he had to keep it. He said, with my grace, you don't need any outside aid or support. Use what I've taught you. Use the revelation that I've taught you. Hallelujah. What was that revelation? That we have authority over Satan, and we've been given complete and total authority over him. And out of the life of the Apostle Paul, we learn more about Satan and his operation than in any place else in the entire Bible. Particularly from the book of Ephesians. Grace is sufficient. Why? It's through grace that he learned his authority that he had over him. And later on, he said, I've been delivered from all of these things. Praise God. Now, he that hath the purse dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. He didn't say bread for the hungry. It's bread. Bread. This is sufficiency. You can have bread when nobody else has any. You can have so much that you can be feeding other people when and they come to you and say, where'd you get this? You say, well, you know, my God supplies all my needs. His name is Jesus, and I need to talk to you about him for a moment. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, he ministers seed to the sower. They needed seed to sow. I've been to that place where I absolutely did not have any zero money to sow. And I made a lifelong decision. I would never allow an offering to get by me. I'm going to put something in there. If I have to cut a button off my shirt or something. There's something going in that offering plate. Because I'm believing for seed. And I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Some of the poorest places in this country. Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah.
Did you know that you were chosen by God before the foundation of this earth? Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Discover God's plan for you. Set before the foundation of the world your wealthy place in God. A 4-CD series by Kenneth Copeland. With this teaching, you'll learn to freely receive direction and answers for your health, family, and finances. Live in a place where your relationships are strong and free of past hurts, confusion, and rage. You can live in more than enough, not paycheck to paycheck. Where's your wealthy place? If you're a born-again Christian, your wealthy place is already in you. Find out how to walk out every day in your wealthy place in God. Change your attitude and see your life the way God sees it. God saw you rich before the beginning and has a good plan for you. It's your time to start living it. Request your free copy of Your Wealthy Place in God by Kenneth Copeland. With this teaching, you'll learn to freely receive direction and answers for your health, family, and finances. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Find out how to walk out every day in your wealthy place in God. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Today, we're celebrating what we call Palm Sunday. And this season that we're in right now of celebrating the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the perfect time to get a hold of this revelation that we heard about and seeing the cross as the place of exchange. It's the place where Jesus exchanged our condition for His, and He made this trade with us. And as we heard today, we know that the cross is also the place where He exchanged His wealth for our poverty. Now, all these things are wonderful, but you don't get to walk in any of them until Jesus is the Lord of your life. And you make that exchange with Him and you say, Jesus, I'm done being my own Lord. I'm done being my own God. I'm done serving myself. I want to serve You. I want to live for You and I want You to be my Lord. And maybe many people watching this right now, you're born again. You're shouting amen, and that's great. But there may be somebody watching this and Jesus isn't the Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation for you. Just say this out loud after me. Father in heaven, I come to You in Jesus' name. I repent of my sin. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. He died for me. He rose again for me. And now He lives for me and I want to live for Him. Jesus, take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you are saved. You are born again. And this is the first day of the rest of your life. And we also know that all of heaven is celebrating because you came home. But not only is all of heaven excited about it, we get excited about it here too. And we want to hear from you. Call us, write us, email us, get a hold of us and let us know what God's doing in your life. And we've got something we want to send you. We call this our salvation package. It's free. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria. Two brochures about how to study your Bible. It's free. All you have to do is let us know you want it. We'll get it right out to you. Thanks for watching the broadcast today. We love you so much. God loves you so much. Until we see you again, remember that Jesus is Lord.